This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. American wars breed American politicians. Out of World War II came John F. Kennedy, George H.W. Bush, and George McGovern. Out of Vietnam came those who went, John Kerry, John McCain, and those who didn't, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Dick Cheney. Now, the Iraq War is sending veterans to the stump. Democrats are hungry to get their Iraq War veterans. They're fighting Dems before the voters in the 2006 midterm elections. Republicans are recruiting their own squad of veterans. Up next on Point, a conversation on the war and the state of the nation with Iraq War veterans who are home from the front and running for Congress. I'm joined by three candidates this morning. Let me introduce them. First, from Philadelphia, is Brian Lentz. He's 41 years old. He's a major in the Army Reserve and served in Iraq from January of 2004 to October 2004. He commanded the 416 Civil Affairs Detachment, which helped rebuild infrastructure in the city of Mosul. Brian Lentz is running in Pennsylvania's 7th District against the Republican Congressman Kurt Weldon, a key figure in President Bush's Iraq War policy planning. He joins us from Philadelphia. Brian Lentz, good to have you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us from Fayetteville, North Carolina, is Tim Dunn. He is a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps Reserve. He served in Iraq from May 2004 until November of that year with the Regime Crimes Liaison Office, assisting the Iraqi Special Tribunal in their prosecution of Saddam Hussein and other top Iraqi leaders. He is running in North Carolina's 8th District against four-term Republican Congressman Robin Hayes. Tim Dunn, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Great to have you. And finally, with us from Waco, Texas, is Van Taylor. He's a major in the Marine Corps Reserve, served for more than 6 months in Iraq in 2003, fighting with the 2nd Force Reconnaissance Company, 4500 Marine Task Force Tarawa. He was part of the task force's first platoon to enter Iraq 2 days before the main invasion. He's running in Texas's 17th District. That's the district of President Bush's Crawford Ranch. Against 7-term Democrat Chet Edwards, the only Democratic congressman to survive the Republican redistricting of Texas. Van Taylor, thank you for being with us.
Howdy from Texas.
And howdy right back to you. The opinions of veterans on the war and the back and forth around that has been very much in the news lately, and I want to get that into all of our ears to kind of inform this conversation. Let's listen to a few bits of tape here. First, from Vice President Dick Cheney, this was amidst the calls for a withdrawal timetable on November 16th at the Frontiers of Freedom Institute gala.
What we're hearing now is some politicians contradicting their own statements and making a play for political advantage in the middle of a war. The saddest part is that our people in uniform have been subjected to these cynical and pernicious falsehoods day in and day out. The President and I cannot prevent certain politicians from losing their memory or their backbone, but we're not going to sit by and let them rewrite history.
The next day, Congressman and former Vietnam-era, and much more than that, Marine John Murtha, Democrat of Pennsylvania, responded at a press conference calling for a timetable for withdrawal from Iraq.
I like guys who got 5 deferments and never been there and send people to war and then don't like to hear suggestions about what need to be done. I resent the fact on Veterans Day he criticized Democrats for criticizing them. This is a flawed policy wrapped in an illusion. The American public knows it.
And finally, Congresswoman Jean Schmidt, Republican of Ohio, who ran against an Iraq vet last fall, Paul Hackett. Here she is stirring up a major storm on the floor of the House on November 18th.
A few minutes ago, I received a call from Colonel Danny Bupp, Ohio representative from the 88th District in the House of Representatives. He asked me to send Congress a message, stay the course. He also asked me to send Congressman Murtha a message that cowards cut and run, Marines never do. Danny and the rest of America and the world want the assurance from this body that we will see this through.
And you hear the uproar right there where Congressman woman Jean Schmidt takes on John Murtha, decorated Marine veteran of the Vietnam War, saying cowards cut and run, Marines never do. The Republican tune changed a bit after the backlash to those statements. Jack Beatty is joining us right now, On Point News analyst from Hanover, New Hampshire. Jack, you've heard our guests today standing up and running for office on their Iraq experience. You hear the kind of debate that's going on around the issue of war veterans and their view of Iraq. What about the veteran quality, the veteran card here? How do you see it playing in the upcoming campaign?
Well, you know, I think that the Democrats have got to be mindful of two examples of Democrats in history. One you might call the George B. McClellan example. General McClellan, as you remember, was the general in charge of the Union armies who was cashiered by Lincoln, and then in 1864 ran on the Democratic ticket against Lincoln on an anti-war, or at least pro-peace, platform, criticizing the strategies of the Lincoln administration, saying, you know, we've been fighting for nearly 3 years, no success. We really have to change strategy and perhaps even have peace with the South, status quo ante with the South. And it looked like he was going to win. Lincoln sent a memo to his cabinet saying, I'm through. This guy's going to beat me. And then what happened? General Sherman captured Atlanta, and the whole basis of the Democratic campaign fell apart. Is there an Atlanta between now and the next election? Is some dramatic event going to happen that will seem to vindicate the Bush strategies? We don't know. It seems unlikely. But one possibility, of course, is a major troop withdrawal, which would have the effect of sort of conceding the issue and saying, well, we're taking our troops out, we're making progress. The other example, of course, is John Kerry, who had tremendous moral authority, wounded veteran, a genuine hero in the Iraq War resolution. Suppose he had filibustered that resolution. Suppose he had stood up and said, no way, we're not going to do this. And had predicted all the things that people were predicting then that have since come to pass. All the disaster was foreseeable and foreseen. He would have run against President Bush in 2004 as a prophet, as the man who'd seen into the future and who called it right. Instead, he ran against Bush as a Me Too candidate and lost.
And we see what happened there. Of course, at that time, he read the political winds and thought he couldn't go in that direction. He couldn't oppose the war too strongly. Brian Lentz, let me put it to you. You're a veteran of the war, and yet you heard when John Murtha, a Vietnam-era veteran, stood up and said, we've got to get out of there. Gene Schmidt went after him, hammer and tongs, cowards cut and run, Marines never do. Do you feel free to speak your criticism of the war plainly on the campaign trail, or are you afraid of a backlash?
I don't fear backlash. I think one of the great things about military service is it teaches you courage, and you know you need to be able to stand up and take the slings and arrows. And I'm not going to hesitate to do that. I mean, we can disagree. We're all Americans. We all want what's best for America. And I'm sure I will hear that type of attack. Another example historically is George McGovern. There's a guy who was not just a veteran, but was a war hero, a legitimate war hero, a highly decorated hero, and he was painted in his campaign against Richard Nixon as a cut and run
peacenik,
a coward, a guy that was for losing, the guy that wanted to quit, throwing the towel. And here Richard Nixon went on to be elected and did essentially what McGovern was calling for. And
does that lead you to temper your message? Does that lead you to sort of keep the macho face on while you try and bring a more subtlety to the conversation about Iraq?
No, I think what people like about men like Jack Murtha is that they don't temper their message. They say what is on their mind and what they believe to be the truth, and I plan on doing that. You know, no, we're not for throwing in the towel, but we are allowed to suggest that you're not going to win this fight with a knockout. You have to win it with some other technique. And I think that My personal opinion is that establishing a timetable and revamping the Reconstruction system is a path to victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, first of all, the consensus in America is that we need to have an exit strategy. Congressman Murtha is speaking for the consensus in America. The Americans are way ahead of the politicians on this issue. But everybody agrees we're not going to stay there forever. So if you accept that premise, it's we're somewhere between 6 months, which Congressman Murtha advocates, and 10 years, which other may advocate. But there's going to be a date on which we leave. And I think that telling the Iraqis that date is more important than worrying about the insurgents being aware of the fact that we're going to turn it over to them.
Because they know at some point the U.S. will do that. Van Taylor, our Republican in Waco, Texas, how do you respond? What do you think when you hear Congresswoman Jean Schmidt respond to veteran, Marine veteran Jack Murtha by saying, cowards cut and run, Marines never do? Is that an appropriate attack on Congressman Murtha after his statement?
Well, I have tremendous respect for Colonel Murtha and his service to our country in Vietnam and what he's done for our nation. But, and I certainly, you know, have a lot of respect for him and what he's done. And I think that a debate on this topic is healthy. Democracies thrive on debate and differing opinions, and I think it's exciting to see what some of the people have said. I mean, you can see what Joe Lieberman said in Tuesday's Wall Street Journal,
right,
where he says, you know, there's a very prominent Democrat, you know, who was Vice President Gore's running mate in 2000, and he's coming out and saying we need to stay the course. He talks about our strategy of clear, hold, and build. He talks about the optimism of the Iraqi people, where 82% of the people polled in Iraq think that their lives are going to be better a year from now than they are right now. And I think that it's – and it also – this debate reminds us of what we're fighting for. As I go around the district and talk to people, they understand that what's at stake in Iraq is freedom and democracy for the Iraqi people, but they also understand what's at stake is ensuring – that Al-Qaeda does not take over Iraq and use it as a terrorist safe haven to launch attacks on this nation.
But, of course, the argument's out there that under Saddam Hussein, it was not a safe haven for Al-Qaeda. It's become that since. Do you see setting a date? Because some people say it's the unbracketed, unending nature of the American commitment that is engendering some of the Iraqi opposition. Do you see setting a date, as Brian Lentz suggests, as cutting and running?
Tying yourself arbitrarily to a particular timeline hamstrings your ability to successfully prosecute and conduct our campaign in Iraq. I think you want to see the situation as it stands on a daily basis, continue to adjust your plan. But in the end, this is a war that we stand to lose. We're fighting against 10,000 bloodthirsty, murdering terrorists who have an explicit stated purpose of taking over Iraq to launch attacks on other countries in the Middle East and on the United States.
10,000? I mean, isn't it a much larger number than that if you include all the Iraqis who are apparently part of the effort at this point, one way or another, passively or actively?
Well, I'm using a prominent Democrat, Joe Lieberman's number in the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
I mean, they're different numbers that you can use to analyze it. But the fact is, you've got, what, 10 million people, 10 million Iraqis who voted in the last election. You have a thriving free democracy in the Arab world. Iraq is a thriving free democracy greater than any other one in the Arab world. And it's the creation of young men and young women who have served over in Iraq who've created this democracy. And I think it's up to the United States to continue to finish the job that we started. And I was there in the beginning, and some other young men will be there towards the end. But we've got to finish the job, not just for the people of Iraq, but for our own security. And as I go around the district, that's what people tell me that they want to see.
Tim Dunn in Fayetteville, North Carolina, you were there in the Marine Corps Reserve as well. Do you agree with Van Taylor? Do we now have a thriving free democracy in Iraq? Has that been achieved at this point? Is that what America must achieve before it goes?
I wouldn't refer to it as a thriving free democracy. What we do have, though, is the seeds of democracy there. And certainly, regardless of how we got there, we can't just leave now and leave that vacuum there. But at the same time, not supporting a timetable, which I do not, which means that we can actually reach these milestones that I support with training up the Iraqis and making it clear to them. You don't have to have a timetable to develop an exit strategy. That exit strategy, that point at which conflict should have been terminated, was a goal and a plan that should have been made before we went in there. You always plan what the end state is going to look like before you go in. And I'm confident that we didn't do that. I mean, a year after we invaded, we had our Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld telling us, well, we didn't quite anticipate the level of violence that we have there now. Well, I arrived right at that end of the year point, and when I arrived in Baghdad, I couldn't go to where I needed to go because the interim president was blown up at the gate going into the green zone.
Does looking back at mistakes made early in the war, does that give you a strong cudgel against your Republican opponent in this race, four-term Republican Robert Hayes? Is that a strong enough lever to get him out and you in, looking backward?
I think there's a lot of aspects in our race here particularly, but since we're focusing on the Iraq conflict,
yes.
The bottom line is we have to hold them accountable. We have to hold the Republican Congress and the administration accountable. First of all, I think I'd just like to comment on what Congressman Smith said on the floor of the House of Representatives, which I think is totally wrong and was inappropriate at the time she did that. I agree. We need to have a debate on this. But, name-calling and starting the debacle that we had on the House floor was not suitable to resolving the conflict that our congressmen and women have up there.
Boy, and that was some scene. You could hear the hoots and hollers.
People, I mean, I can work with the new congressman. Mm-hmm. I can work with Van Taylor. I can work with anybody that is willing to sit down. This is beyond Democratic and Republican issues. These are American issues. We in a nation of the United States can never become desensitized with one death, never can become desensitized with one injury. We owe it to the people that we have over there to provide them with the clearly defined mission, the goals and objectives to reach, and then bring them home at the appropriate time. And then when they come home, we owe it to them to take care of them with reference to the benefits they have in the VA. And this administration is not doing that. This Republican Congress is not doing that.
And we're here.
And it's time for a change.
Let's take a call. George is calling from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Hi, George. You're on the air.
All three of these candidates sound like clones of the present crop of congressmen and senators in our government, with whom I haven't had much in common for some time. I'm a World War II four-year veteran combat, and the Purple Heart and medals to show.
So what do you want to hear from Iraq vets on the stump?
I want to hear any one of these candidates say, not just pleasing the party lines.
Tim Dunn, let us turn to you. George is saying your call for milestones is too close to the president's line, too close to the status quo for his tastes. Are you essentially lining up with the Republican view of what should happen in Iraq, Tim?
I don't think so, and certainly appreciate George's service as a World War II veteran. He speaks with volumes of credibility. The bottom line is we need congressional oversight. Under Article 2 of the Constitution, Congress is also have a very, very large responsibility for our national defense. It's just not in the president's hands, in the administration's hands. And, talking about Brian Lentz's concern with the Reconstruction efforts over there, the Congress needs to stand up, hold the administration accountable, hold the people that get these contracts accountable. Have a report back to Congress, demand a report back to Congress on a more regular basis as to what the efforts are, how close are we to reaching the milestones, how many battalions have been trained up, what's the process for training them, how long is it taking, how long does it take an American unit to train up like the ones they're training over there.
I want to thank all of you for being with us. Brian Lentz in Philadelphia, running in Pennsylvania's 7th District, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tim Dunn in Fayetteville, North Carolina, running in North Carolina's 8th District. Thank you, Mr. Dunn, for being with us.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
And Van Taylor, running on the Republican ticket in Texas, 17th District. Van Taylor, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Jack Beatty, good to have you as well. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.